15, 10, 5, touchdown!
From the front office,
we'll never be totally satisfied till we win the championship.
Yeah, we have a lot of young players on this team and new coaching staff. I think we're happy about it.
To the coach's office.
I'm enjoying the interaction with the coaches. I'm enjoying working with the players. I enjoy the process.
From the Browns of the present.
I'm thrilled to be where I'm at each and every day to play quarterback here.
I am a threat. I'm on the football field. I can possibly get that football. And when I get the football, you better strap your helmet on tight, you know, make sure all your chin straps buckled up because it'll take you for a ride.
To the Browns of the past.
Bernie Kosar joining us.
Brian Seip.
Jerry Shirk.
Clay Matthews.
This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube on ESPN 850 WKNR.
And pushes, and he's in! Touchdown! It is all over! The Browns have won it!
Now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
And a great football Tuesday to you all. Thanks for joining us here for the next hour. We're going to talk some Browns, talk some NFL. We have got the defensive coordinator of this football team joining us tonight, Dick Geron. It's been a while since we've had him on the show, but we're going to look back on what was accomplished by this defense, really the strongest part of this Browns team in 2011. Didn't take much to have a strongest part, but it was the defense. And Dick Geron will talk about that. We'll get into some other aspects, the young players who did well, what the future looks like, what having an off season will be like for a guy who last year had the handicap of trying to institute a new scheme, the 4-3, replacing the 3-4, and doing it without the help of any time to work with players in the off season, not to get to know anybody. So that'll be different. We'll hear from Dick Geron on that one and kind of look ahead as well. And speaking of looking ahead into the offseason and also a little bit of additional analysis of what took place in 2011, our good buddy Scott Petrick, he's been on the show before, covers the Browns for the Elyria Chronicle Telegram. So a little chat with Scott, and we will delve into what this football team looks like now as we head into the offseason, looking ahead to the upcoming combine. Lots of news there. Your questions, you send those to us via our Browns official Facebook and Twitter pages. You can also phone them in via voicemail, 1-855-363-2459, or locally, 440-824-6134. But via Facebook, and this is appropriate because Dan is asking, is there a chance that the Browns will go after Peyton Manning if he's healthy and he gets released? And this is the timing on this is great because Jim Irsay announcing or talking today about the fact that the Colts actually would welcome back Peyton Manning, but the catch is a restructured deal. He'd have to do something with his contract that would have to be probably loaded with bonuses and incentive clauses. And he said, quote, we can make it work if he wants to be here. So putting the ball squarely in Peyton Manning's court, and it'll be interesting to see how Manning would respond to that, just in terms of the dollars, because there's a whole lot of money that he's due to receive if the contract stays as is. And on that basis is the presumption that he would be an ex-Colt. And if he's an ex-Colt, is there interest on the Browns' part? And that's the other part of the question. I don't think so. I don't see it. He's not the Peyton Manning, I don't think, physically, that we've seen at his best. And I don't think the Browns as a franchise would be looking for what would be very much, a temporary solution in Manning. I think he's, at best, he may give you a good season or a solid season, but he doesn't give you great season. He doesn't give you long-lasting, sustained success at that position. And that's not the answer I think this football team would be looking for. That's my two cents on that. Okay, we have got a conversation coming up in a couple of minutes with the defensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, Dick Geron. Stick around that and much, much more on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. It's brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports is in the game.
Don't wait for the auto show. The deals have arrived at Liberty, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. The savings are huge, and right now you can get an additional $1,000 auto show bonus cash or lease the best-selling 33-mile-per-gallon Ford Fusion for just $169. Great fuel efficiency, quality, and style, all for only $169 a month. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty is in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, Stone.
At First Merit Bank, getting to know our customers is important to us. So how do we do it? Well, it's simple. By listening, learning, understanding your business, and by turning all of those things into a real, roll-up-our-sleeves, working-together-to-achieve-your-future-goals kind of relationship. So let's start now. Hey, how about that game? Let's get to know each other. First Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
If you suffer from migraine headaches and you want fast relief, try Excedrin Migraine, the number one neurologist-recommended OTC brand that starts to relieve migraine pain in 30 minutes. For more help with your migraines, talk to your Discount Drug Mart pharmacist today. Use as directed.
Discount Drug Mart, thank you to run around. You'll find everything you need.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Because neither rain, nor snow, nor dust and dirt, nor smudges, or even the toughest scratches, nor the glare of oncoming traffic can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. Crizal lenses. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
Bob, I forgot something in the dairy section. I'll be right back.
Sure, you go ahead, Joe.
Hello, sir. Would you like to try some Indiana Kitchen bacon?
Are you kidding? Why do you think I'm standing here?
Well, I thought you were lost.
No, I've been waiting for you to set up. Aren't you done?
Oh, not quite. I just have to finish wrapping these little hot dogs.
Oh, don't worry about that. I'll take care of it.
Wait, sir. Well, you can't take them all.
Mm, it's all right. You can go home early. Thank you.
Sir.
Nobody else knows about this, do they?
Excuse me. Can I have a sample, please?
I'm sorry, kid. Gotta get your parents' permission.
He did, Bob. I said yes. He's our youngest, remember?
Never saw him before.
Nice.
Yeah, there's bacon for people who share. And then there's Indiana Kitchen. Look in your mailbox or this Sunday's paper for coupons in the Red Plum insert. Or go to baconloversbacon.com. Then get to your local supermarket fast. Indiana Kitchen, the bacon lover's bacon.
Indiana Kitchen.
We welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. And this segment, a little conversation with, well, it's a big conversation, actually, with the defensive coordinator of the Browns, Dick Geron. It's brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. We're very happy to welcome to the show Browns defensive coordinator Dick Geron. Coach, welcome back.
It's good to be here.
So we'll start, with just a big picture look at 2011. Defense certainly was one of the stronger areas of this football team, if not the strongest. And it was interesting because it seemed to be, as I guess is maybe always the case, something that evolved over the course of the year. But ultimately, it was a top 10 defense in a division that had a lot of strong defenses. But I know your expectation is you want everything that you saw to be better. But in your general sense, how did it play out for you as far as the way the defense as a whole played?
Well, first of all, I thought that the staff, Ray Rhodes and Jerome Henderson and Billy Davis and Chuck Ebola and Dwayne Board really did a great job throughout the whole year. And the players were, they bought in and they're good guys, hardworking guys. And they performed well. You know, obviously at times, the bottom line is always W's. You got to win, and we didn't win enough games. So clearly we didn't play well enough. But they did some things very well. Number one was keeping people out of the end zone. Even when we would give up what we considered too many yards or big plays, they tended to buckle down and not let them in, And that's the whole deal on defense. Just don't let them score. Our game is points scored and points allowed, period. That's right. And so they did a pretty good job there, but again, not good enough because we didn't get enough wins.
When that, and again, I know there are a lot of reasons why the buckling down, as you put it, takes place, but is that as much a case of the type of players you have as it is the schematic element of it all? I mean, did you feel that when you put those 11 guys out there, you had the types of players who, when it really got to that, that gritty time, close with the back to the goal line that they keep them out.
You know, I think scheme is important. There's no doubt about it, but it's not nearly as important as players. I mean, you got to have guys that want to play and that'll make plays when it counts. And we have some of those guys. You know, they're really into it and they play hard, and that's the deal. That's the deal. The rest of it, yeah, it's important, but not nearly as important as those players.
When you think about transitioning from a 3-4 to a 4-3, which was obviously a huge topic of conversation, and having players who were part of that 3-4 in 2010 and then having to learn a new scheme and not having the benefit of an offseason that would allow you to, because of the lockout, allow you to teach those finer points, you and your assistant coaches on the defensive staff. How difficult a transition did it make that, A, and how did you go about trying to accelerate the process as much as you could?
The staff, again, did a terrific job of working with the guys, and I think we took our feeling for our defense off of the players. You know, how do we think they're grasping? What can we do? What can't we do? How much is too much? You know, which is always a question, no matter if you have an off season or not. You know, do you need all that stuff to perform at a high level? Those are questions that are hard to answer, quite frankly. You know, you gotta be around them. You gotta get a feel for them. You gotta have a lot of input from players and coaches, and then and then you just go out and play. And they performed well. It's hard to tell how well they might have done with an off season. Might not have done as well. I don't. There's nobody ever going to know, you know. And all you can do is guess on that one. The off seasons are critical. Yeah, they are. I mean, you'd certainly rather have them than not have them. But we didn't get anybody hurt in the off season, you know.
There's a plus.
That was a plus. Yeah, that was a plus. So, you know, this year will be a big year. We'll have the off season. We'll have going into our second year. Hopefully, we'll improve. You know, we'll improve talent wise. Hopefully, we got to improve our coaching abilities. You know, we know them a little better. The league will know us a little better too. So it'll be hard. It'll be harder. But we're all looking forward to it.
Browns defensive coordinator Dick Duron joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You mentioned that the difference that will be this offseason, in that you will have an offseason and the ability to teach and to do the things that you weren't able to do last year. So how different will it be? What will be the process of working these players into, I guess, indoctrinating them further into what you're doing? And you're going to have new guys, of course, rookies who will be introduced to what you're doing for the first time. But how do you continue the process with the younger players that are continuing to learn it, and the new ones who are seeing it for the first time?
Well, it will be a lot of fun, actually, and we'll get to see how Coach Pat puts together his offseason, how he structures it, and then obviously we'll structure off of him. We'll do exactly what he wants. We'd like to have classroom time. We'd like to have field time within the framework of the collective bargaining agreement, and build from the basics. Start very slowly and build up. You know, it's really interesting because you assume a lot of things in the game almost every year, and I think that you can't make those assumptions. You got to start slowly and build back with them. Talk about the field. Talk about the markings on the field. Talk about drops. Talk about, you know, really get basic. Talk about your football, talk about technique, footwork, those kinds of things in the off season, and then build off that, because the scheme, you know, all those techniques will fit into any scheme, but they got to have them to succeed.
Did you feel that you were getting to know your players sort of during the course of the year? Did you feel you got to know them sufficiently, as opposed to, again, that ability, had you had more time in the off season to, again, get to know them? I'm along with classroom time and field time and all those things that you do in the off season, just the basic of, hey, you know, who is this guy and what's he all about?
Well, yeah, I mean, when you spend as much time as we spend around him now, I don't spend a lot of what you would consider personal time with them. I in and out of their locker room occasionally. I'm not with them off the field, you know. But yeah, you get you certainly get a feel for them as people to some degree, as players to a great degree, and what their strengths and their weaknesses are. I think and that's a great part of the game, really.
And because, again, you have some very young people who are key components to this defense, and let's talk about that. Jabal Sheard certainly was consistently a big force on this defense. Phil Taylor made his mark, maybe to a lesser degree, but he made his mark. And, you know, Joe Hayden and T.J. Ward from the previous year's draft, some young components had some major contributions. If you could just talk about that and how you see them progressing.
Well, I said it a number of times. I thought Dwayne Board did a great job with both Phil and Jabal. You know, they came in as rookies. They started from day one. They both performed at a high level. And hopefully that arrow will just keep going up. You know, good guys, hardworking guys. So that's a big plus for us. Our linebackers were outstanding. And that's a veteran group, you know. But Billy did a great job with them, too, getting them prepared on a weekly basis. You know, and we leaned on them a lot for leadership, and obviously they came through. DeQuell just had a terrific year, and it doesn't get any better than that guy in terms of a teammate and a football player, a guy that's all in, you know, for his team. It's not about him, which is a great thing, and a great example for the rest of the guys. And then in the secondary, we're young, you know, we're young, and Joe's got great talent and plays hard, and he's just going to get better as his technique improves over time, and he likes the challenge. You know, as you mentioned, TJ lost most of the year, really tough guy, so we're looking forward to getting him back. We got to know Sam a lot better, you know, and Mike did a great job for us at free, and then Eric Hagg started working in there as a draft pick, which is a terrific pick for us, and you know, and Sheldon did a terrific job, you know, and over on that right side. And then we got some young guys, Buster.
Right.
You know, Buster did a nice job for us, too. So we've got some things to build on. Just needs to happen.
And you have a new secondary coach now with Tim Houck taking over for Jerome Henderson, who moved on to the Cowboys. What can you tell us about Tim Houck and his the type of coaching that he brings to this staff?
I've never worked with Tim as a coach. I got the great pleasure of coaching him for 4 years in Green Bay. It doesn't get better than this guy. He is a terrific teammate. He was a ferocious player. I mean, just a tremendous competitor on the field, and he'll bring all that to the field. He'll have feeling for his guys. He'll have feeling for the team. He'll be a lot like Jerome. Jerome did an outstanding job, you know, and we'll miss him. But Timmy is just a great addition to this staff, and really excited to have him.
Coach, you have core beliefs of what your defensive philosophy is, what your defensive structure is all about, and I know you operate from that as a base, but this game is always about evolving, right? And the opposition, opposing offenses change up and do different things, and I know you study that, and I know your staff, and you have people who just basically break that down constantly. So as you look at how the game just continues to evolve, as you look at what the best teams did, not only in the AFC North, but in the NFL in general, and again, the AFC North well represented in the postseason, what sorts of influences are there maybe schematically for you and for the Browns defense to have to look at? Do you see tweaking or any significant adjustments that just have to be made to kind of keep up with what you're going to see in the coming season?
Absolutely. I think, you know, I believe that the off season, and we're just really getting started in the off season, we'll spend a great deal of time just looking at ourselves, and then we'll spend a good deal of time studying, as you pointed out, the top defenses in the league, just see what they're doing, how it fits us, if it fits us, what we can add, what's too much. You know, when you get to overloading people, and so yeah, we'll study all of that, because as you pointed out, it doesn't stand still. You know, it keeps moving all the time.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. He is Dick Geron joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.
Don't wait
for the auto show, the deals have arrived at Liberty, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. The savings are huge, and right now you can get an additional $1,000 auto show bonus cash or lease the best-selling 38-mile-per-gallon Ford Focus for just $169. Great fuel efficiency, quality, and style, all for only $169 a month. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick.
If you love wings, if you love rings, and all kinds of other tempting things, take time, great food, get too quick and safe and loose.
Sink your teeth into Munch Madness with our revved up loop favorites. Try our sweet potato retreads, Greek nachos, shrimp quesadilla, or new appetizer sized flatbread.
Great times, great food.
At Cleveland Clinic, we'll see you later, today. Access to the best care is easy, with same-day appointments available at convenient locations throughout Northeast Ohio. Call today, 216-444-CARE, or visit clevelandclinic.org.
For the first time together in 10 years, Corona Light presents Kenny Chesney and Jim McGraw. Of the Sun Tour, July 29th at Cleveland Brown Stadium. Plus, special guests, Reese Potter and the Nocturnals, and Jay Cohen, Kenny Chesney, Tim McGraw. Tickets are on sale now. Available at Ticketmaster.com or call 800-745-3000.
Micro here talking with Jim Twitchell, a real live Ford service technician, about the importance of scheduled maintenance. But really, Jim, everybody knows it's important, right?
Scheduled maintenance is important, and that's what keeps your car running at optimum performance.
The works includes an oil change, tire rotation, multi-point inspection, and more. Just $24.95 or less after $15 rebate.
So you're kind of like a car doctor.
Definitely a car doctor.
I see.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 3/31/12.
This is Jim Swayze. You know, sometimes you only get one chance, like making that first impression or remembering your lines on opening night or packing your first parachute.
Geronimo!
But books, music, and movies always get a second chance at half-price books. Now they're even paying cash for game consoles, games, and accessories. Our kids love that. Second chances are what Half Price Books is all about, and it's been that way for 40 years. Sure, they have tons of great new stuff, but the real treasures are the things that other folks have chosen not to pack up in trash, but to take to Half Price Books for cash. It's also why every Half Price Bookstore has its own unusual selection and surprises. When I sell to Half Price Books, I feel like I'm sharing a little piece of myself with someone I may never meet, and I think that's kind of neat. Half Price Books, real books, real treasures, real cheap. In North Homestead, Mayfield Heights, Mentor, and Rocky River. Find out more or drop me a note on the blog at hpb.com.
Hi, Gang, Riz here, and Russo Rosalina and Company is the official law firm of the Really Big Show. Family owned and operated, and I'll tell you what, they are Clevelanders. General practice law firm, and they have provided legal service to over 100,000 Ohio residents for 32 years. Two locations, Richmond Town Square and Parmatown. Probate business, injuries, problems at home, wills, go to rrlpa.com. That's rrlpa.com. Russo Rosalina.
At Cleveland Clinic, we'll see you later, today. Access to the best care is easy, with same-day appointments available at convenient locations throughout Northeast Ohio. Call today, 216-444-CARE, or visit clevelandclinic.org.
Hi, this is Jabal Sheridan, and you're listening to the Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNO.
And we are back on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as that standout defensive end said. It is also in association with Quaker Steak and Lube. Hey, you can see Kenny Chesney and Tim McGraw for the first time together in 10 years on July 29th at Cleveland Browns Stadium. Plus, special guests, that's Grace Potter and the Nocturnals, and Jake Owen. Tickets are on sale now. They're available at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 1-800-745-3000. This segment, part one of a discussion between yours truly, Vic Carucci, and Scott Patrick, our good buddy from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, who covers the Browns. This is driven by Liberty Ford. Happy to have with us now Scott Petrick from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. He's covered this Browns team for a long time. How many years have you been on this beat?
I started on the beat in 04.
Okay.
So 8 full years.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good run so far. All right. Well, good. Well, the offseason, obviously, Scott, in terms of what we just heard from Dick Duran a little bit earlier, I want to start there because the foundation of this team, the success that this team had in 2011, whatever you could call success, and it wasn't much in the certainly in the way of wins, losses, but in terms of a part of the team that maybe has some traction going forward, sustainability, is the defensive side. And his first year, from that standpoint, was reasonably successful.
Yeah, I thought Coach Duran really stabilized that defense. He was a different personality than his predecessor, Rob Ryan. He brought in the 4-3, and I was worried that there'd be a big period of transition going from 3-4 to 4-3, right. But I didn't really think there was, and I thought he kind of settled it down. He played a not conservative game plan, but there wasn't a whole lot of risks taken, and I thought overall the defense played well, and the pass defense especially, you know, was in the top five most of the year.
Yeah, and overall a top 10 ranked defense in the league in a division where there are outstanding defenses.
Yes.
I mean that was the definition of the AFC North. But you mentioned about this transition, and I said the same thing, how difficult it figured to be to try to get guys to buy into and be comfortable in a 4-3 when many of them had been 3-4 players. Why do you think it worked as well as it did?
Yeah, you know, I think you have to go to the linebackers. Scott Fujita and Chris Gokong had spent time in the 4-3 elsewhere. And then Taquell Jackson hadn't, but everybody said he was perfectly suited for it in the middle, and it turned out that he was. So I think once you have those three guys in the heart of that defense, the secondary doesn't change that much.
Right.
And then you drafted two rookies who were 4-3 fits already.
Right.
So I think it just was kind of worked out naturally.
Because he had to do this, Duran and the coaching staff, they had to do this despite obviously not having that time to work,
yeah.
No offseason. And when you put it all together, I mean, watching training camp, and you and I were out there pretty much every day, mm-hmm. you could see that there was a lot of teaching going on the field. Not that that isn't normal for camp, but
sure.
I thought there was a higher level of that, a lot of pauses in drills where that teaching was taking place by Duran and the other assistants.
Yeah, but by the time you got to September, there weren't the real gaps. You know, I mean, you could point to specific situations where the defense got burned or whatever, but I didn't feel that they were out of step, out of place. I didn't think there was a lot of confusion at all from the defense, which is probably attributed to the coaching and the veterans like Scott Fujita,
yeah.
And Chris Gokong.
The leaders that were out there. And you mentioned those coaches, and Dick Duran speaks so highly of them, but on this show, earlier in this show, really expressed a sense of gratitude for how well this group worked. Dwayne Board with the defensive line, Billy Davis with the linebackers, and he talked about Jerome Henderson, mm-hmm. with the secondary, who's no longer here with the Cowboys now, being replaced by Tim Houck, but that he had this good group of coaches that could help him. And you've got a veteran like Ray Rhodes,
yep.
in the building, which is another voice and presence that's helpful. But overall, he gives a lot of credit to those position coaches and the work they did.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that shows up. Dwayne Board, you know, when you take the two rookies, and Phil Taylor and Jabal Sheer, both of whom had, I don't know if outstanding's the right word, but they had really good years
really
for rookies.
Strong, yeah,
really strong years. So that's a credit to him. Billy Davis, I tell you, he's an impressive guy. You know, he's spent time as a coordinator before, and you could tell he's from a football family. But when you meet him, he just has that personality that makes you want to play for him. And then the guys have always raved about Jerome Henderson. You know, I ran into Joe Hayden a couple weeks ago at the Sports Awards, and he was talking about, you know, how they'll miss him. He's sure they got the right guy to come in. But I know the guys like playing for Jerome Henderson, and he had a positive energy about him. He's always running sprints out there in practice with the guys.
Yeah.
Kind of a young, you know, a young look to him that I think carried over to the young secondary.
Yeah, former player, and as is Tim Houck. But, I mean, I think that credibility level that a former player brings to the table is also a key to getting these guys to buy in and to connect. Scott Petrick is joining us from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, covers the Browns. A little off-season chat with him. And more on this defensive side of the ball. We mentioned the young players. We mentioned Jabal Sheard and Phil Taylor on that defensive line. The needle, the arrow can only be pointing up for these guys. I know you say that, and some people have that fear. Well, then there's the sophomore slump or whatever. But let's talk about Sheard in particular. He looks to me like a guy just getting started on what could be a very special career.
No, I think you're right. And if you look, once they moved into the left side of the defense, where he's going against a right tackle, you could tell that he felt way more comfortable because that's where he'd been at Pitt. And you know, what impressed me most is the big plays, the forced fumbles, the strip sacks. And those are what you need to change the games, because the Browns didn't get a lot of interceptions last year, so they relied on those kind of things. And you could tell every game he was getting more comfortable. I didn't think the game was ever too big for him. So, I expect big things from him from here on out.
He plays with a level of speed and aggressiveness, mm-hmm. too. That you have that or you don't. Yeah. I mean, right? He comes blessed with that. Certainly, you know, there's the thinking aspect of it and being in the right position. What I like about the guy, though, is that he's almost always in the vicinity of the ball. And when he's getting pressure on the quarterback, it isn't just that he's going to get pressure on the quarterback. He's going to separate him from the football.
Yes, and definitely. And I also thought he made strides in the run game. I thought early in the year teams were going after him a little bit, and then that stopped. They were no longer gashing his side of the line, and I thought he was stout at the point of attack.
Phil Taylor played well at that tackle position, lined up next to Ataba Rubin. Were you impressed with how he sort of showed, at least to me, at a point where he might have been, I don't want to say hitting a rookie wall, but mm-hmm. slowing down, maybe not as consistently effective as he was earlier, seemed to pick it up a little bit later in the year.
He did. I thought there was a lull, and I think Dick Duran did tell us.
Right.
That, I don't know if it was about week 9 or 10, he thought Phil had the worst game of the year to that point. And after that, I thought they were all better.
Yeah.
And I think that speaks to Phil Taylor, and it speaks to Ataba Rubin next to him, who's always working hard. And I think he rubbed off on Phil some, and Phil would say that. So it was good to see him run into that wall and then gather himself and then go through the wall. Because I thought you saw him play his best football toward the end of the season. And I think the jump for him from year one to year two will be huge.
And toward the end of the season, it's not coincidental. When we saw the better run play, play, right? I mean, that was something statistically lacking all year. You can't make a case that this was even a good run defense team overall. But in that last quarter of the season, it seemed to consistently be better at stopping the run when this team was facing, obviously, each week an outstanding running back.
Yeah, and I thought they made strides after they got gashed by Ray Rice in Baltimore in the first game here. They made strides, and they were obvious in the rematch in Baltimore. The run defense played way better. They played better against Pittsburgh in the rematch. So I think Phil Taylor had a big, had a lot to do with that. And that's why they drafted him. They drafted him to pair him next to Rubin and finally kind of stop the holes in the running game, because the run defense has been bad for a decade here.
I feel that Ataba Rubin just didn't get enough due or enough credit outside of Cleveland. We all knew. We saw him all year long. Week after week, we talk about what a great player he was. I know on this round table and listening to, Jimmy Donovan and Doug Deacon and Tom Withers talk about it and yourself, that we praised him. And then when I, look around the internet and talk with other people around the country and bring him up, really only some of the national broadcasters who had Brown assigned to Browns games would really appreciate what we knew. But nationwide, I don't think it was as respected as it should have been.
No, you're 100% right. He's got to be on the list of most underrated guys in the league. And I think if you look at the contract he signed in the middle of the season, it proves his value across the league, because the Browns wanted to keep him and they paid him a bunch of money to stay, which just would have shown what his market value would be across the league, because you can't find those 330-pound guys that have a nonstop motor, and he does. And if you watch him, the most impressive thing about him is when he's chasing running backs down the field, 20 yards down the field on the sideline, and he's making a tackle. And guys that big don't do that.
The secondary, when we talk about, of course, we start that conversation about that area, that position. We talk about Joe Hayden, and still among, I think, the very better cornerbacks in the NFL. His season in 2011, not as strong as 2010, at least in terms of numbers or production, for interception production. But I thought he was an effective player by, you know, for the most part. I thought he, too, probably had the biggest transition to make from the new coverage scheme that required man-to-man versus the zone work in the zone, that he did under Rob Ryan previous year. And that zone coverage, I'll put him in position to make more plays, more interceptions than he did in man-to-man.
Yeah, I think that's huge, Vic. And I don't know if the average fan picks up on that. You know, you're watching TV and they're not, the camera doesn't focus on guys on one-on-one, right? Yeah. They're all looking at the quarterback. And that was a huge adjustment. And I talked to Sheldon Brown, the other corner, a lot, and I talked to Joe about it. And they were man-to-man like 90% of the time is what they would tell you. Mm-hmm. And it takes away the interception opportunities because you don't have your eyes on the quarterback. And it's difficult because if you get beat, you know, if you lose your footing for a second, the guy's gone and you're giving up a big touchdown.
Right.
So it was a huge adjustment for these guys. And I think that's why it's tough to judge Joe Hayden's year just looking at the numbers. Because that's a huge difference from rookie year to year two. So the interceptions go down. But then they made him their number one corner, and he followed the other team's best receiver everywhere he went. And he didn't do that as a rookie. No. So that's another huge transition he had to make.
Right. And T.J. Ward's story, sad just because he got hurt and missed most of the year. But and I think that's where it really showed up for him in the lack of run defense, the support that he brings to it. So when the run defense struggled for much of the season, you can point to his absence as being a big part of that. I wonder from your standpoint now with Tim Houck taking over as the new secondary coach, how having a fully healthy Ward for a whole season, what that could mean if we presume that's the case, and B, what Houck's influence as the hard-hitting former DB that he was, that kind of plays right into towards playing style.
Yeah, well, you know that's the kind of guy TJ likes because he loves to talk about it. You know, there's a commercial around town for a car dealership where he knocks out the sales manager or whoever. So I think TJ will embrace that. It was a sad way to see him end the year because I thought he'd been playing well. And for a big hitter, he got better in coverage.
Yeah.
Tight ends didn't get to him. Even week one, I thought he had a bad week against Cincinnati's Jermaine Gresham. In week two, he played better against Dallas Clark. And you saw that progression throughout the season, I thought. In run defense, he is a pivotal person, you know, when they play eight in the box. And I talked to him after that San Francisco game, and they gave up a bunch of yards early,
right?
And he took it upon himself, not filling the right gap. And then by the second half, he was in the right gap. And Frank Gore didn't have the same success. So he's got to be included when you talk run defense.
And as far as the rest of the secondary, Usama Young came in and I guess did some things. We brought it. Maybe it wasn't a big splash, but at least it was sufficient at times. And you look at Mike Adams, the veteran, who was at least a solid, steady presence while he was in there and played well, I think, for the most part while he was in there. But the safety position, by and large, needing those people to really step up. And again, I don't know if you could call it exceptional, but for what the Browns needed, it at least got the job done.
Yeah, you know, Mike Adams led the team in interceptions. He's going to be free agent, so it'll be interesting to see if they target him and try to bring him back. I think he's 30, 31. They paid Usama Young, who's one of the few free agents they brought in last year, so I know they expect him to be a starter,
right.
And he was toward the end of that year, but more of that was filling in for TJ at strong safety rather than the free position. So, you know, I thought those two guys played adequate. You know, Mike Adams, I thought it was commendable that they brought in Usama Young to take his job, and he wouldn't let him do it.
Yeah.
And that says something. You know, the guy, he's not big. He's an undrafted guy to Delaware, but he's got a lot of fight in him, and he's a great special teams player.
Yeah, and Eric Hag, Buster Skrine.
Yeah, you saw a little bit from Eric
players. You saw a little bit from those guys, too.
Yeah, I like Buster. Buster could be the fastest guy on the team. I'm not sure he's ready to be a starter, but next year he might be able to be that nickel guy if that's how the Browns decide they want to go and trust him to be the third guy, because that's what they started to do at the end of the year. They'd rest Sheldon Brown some. And Buster was a third guy, and he showed a willingness to fight out there against, I think it was Miami. He was on the field for the last drive to try to stop Miami from scoring, and he made a pass breakup down the sideline.
All right. When we come back, let's talk more about what is ahead for this football team, the next big event being the Combine in Indianapolis, which is starts next week, and we will you and I know we'll both be there. So we'll get into some of that as we continue with our discussion with Scott Petrick from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, covers the Browns on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.
Wait for the auto show. The deals have arrived at Liberty, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. The savings are huge, and right now you can get an additional $1,000 auto show bonus cash or lease the best-selling SUV, Ford Escape, for just $169. Four-wheel drive, great fuel efficiency and style, all for only $169 a month. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty is in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
If you love wings, if you love rings, and all kinds of other tempting things, take time, great food, get too quick to take them.
Sink your teeth into Munch Madness with our revved up Loop favorites. Try our sweet potato retreads, Greek nachos, shrimp quesadilla, or new appetizer sized flatbread.
Great times, great food, get too quick to take them.
Madden NFL 12 delivers an authentic NFL experience with an all-new collision system, team-specific runners, and real-life broadcast with all-new dynamic player performance. Players' traits rise and fall based on their performance throughout the game. Madden NFL 12, true to the game. EA Sports Madden NFL 12 is available now. Want to learn more? Go to ea.com/MaddenNFL.
At First Merit Bank, getting to know our customers is important to us. So how do we do it? Well, it's simple. By listening, learning, understanding your business, and by turning all those things into a real, roll-up-our-sleeves, working-together-to-achieve-your-future-goals kind of relationship. So let's start now. Hey, how about that game? Let's get to know each other. Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
Hey, the Roadman, Kenny Rhoda here, and are you ready for the snow? The team at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge is, as they want to make you a deal you can't refuse. Like the 2012 Jeep Liberty 4x4 Sport, lease it right now starting as low as $259 a month for 36 months with no money down. That's crazy. I'm driving one of these babies right now and loving it. The look, the way it handles, the all-weather capability, and it's a trail-rated vehicle so I can go anywhere and do anything in my 2012 Jeep Liberty 4x4 Sport. Come check out what I'm talking about. Take it for a test drive at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge, 123 Broadway Avenue on the historic Bedford Auto Mile. Maybe you're not into leases. You want to buy? Even better. How about a starting price of $20,500 on that brand new 2012 Jeep Liberty 4x4 Sport? Only at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge, 123 Broadway Avenue on the Bedford Auto Mile. So come take advantage of it. Save big. Hurry, these prices won't last. Call today for more info. 440-232-2121 and tell them the Roadman sent you.
Back on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford on this Football Tuesday edition. Yours truly, Vic Carucci, with you at the top of the hour. Hey, Browns fans, unite with the team and experience the great benefits of being a Cleveland Browns season ticket holder. 2012 season tickets, they're on sale now and more affordable than ever with tickets starting at only $32. Go to clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 for more information. This segment, the second half of our conversation with our good buddy Scott Petrick from the Elyria newspaper that covers this football team, is brought to you by Madden NFL 12. It's in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. And we're back with the second half of our discussion with Scott Petrick. He covers the Browns for the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. We covered the defense, I think, pretty thoroughly, although we can get into maybe some of the with this segment. I'd like to look ahead as to what this team can do to make itself better on both sides of the ball. And the next big phase of that will take place in Indianapolis next week at the Combine. We'll both be there. And as we think about that and how the Browns approach that, everybody's thought process on this team logically is about making the offense better, because mm-hmm. that's where this team struggled the most last year. And it could, and you know, quarter, the obvious positions that we hear about: quarterback, wide receiver, running back, offensive line, running back. But the defense shouldn't be and can't be forgotten this process, as much as it was addressed so heavily the last two drafts.
No, you're right. I'd be surprised if general manager Tom Hackert spent his first two picks on defense again, like he has his first two drafts here. But I would not be surprised at all if the number four pick was a defensive guy, or if they traded down a little bit and took a defensive guy there. You know, there's still needs. I think you need a corner opposite Joe Hayden. You know, Sheldon Brown's getting up there in age. You know, I think if you added another defensive end to pair with Jabal Sheard, all of a sudden you have four studs across the defensive line. And we saw what the Giants did to win the Super Bowl. And I'll tell you what, if you have a quarterback and a front four that can get to the passer, you can play with anybody. And that's a pretty good recipe. And then maybe, you know, one more linebacker, assuming they bring back DeQuell Jackson, maybe add an outside linebacker to put into the mix, a young guy, an athletic guy who might be able to get to the passer. So I think there's needs there. And it, you know, maybe you address through free agency, but I think they would probably go younger and look draft to fill some of those spots.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about what the Giants did in that Super Bowl, and really for a Super Bowl that was just all about the quarterbacks, all about how Tom Brady and Eli Manning were going to light it up, really that Giants defense kept it, and as impressive as Brady was taking the Patriots out of that early hole, that Giants pass rush did its job. It did exactly what it was supposed to do to help them win a very close ball game.
Oh, it sure did. You know, it started early with their safety. You know, Justin Tuck kind of forced that safety. And I thought there was a lull from the front four in the middle of the game. And then when they needed him in the fourth quarter to get a couple big stops, they got the pressure they needed. And they're doing it with big name guys on that front four, and they do it with four, five, six of those guys.
So that's what, you know, and I'm a copycat league. I mean, that's exactly the type of thing that the Browns, I'm not saying they can duplicate that in maybe in 1 year, but if you step that up, if you add to that mix and get a bookend to Sheard, you've got yourself something that can make this team significantly better, at least noticeably better.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think if you go into a season with four guys you'd love across the front four, that's a perfect place to start. You can do a whole lot. You can do a whole lot of stuff with the back seven. You can drop coverage. You know, you can cover some guys in the secondary if you need to. I think if you're building a team, quarterback, D-line are probably the two places I would start.
I want a nickel, at least, for every fan who, you know, writes into this show via social media, probably writes into you, and ask about RG3,
sure.
You know, the quarterback position, and how are they going to go about this, or are they going to look at Matt Flynn in free agency, on and on and on. So the quarterback talk, when we get to Indianapolis, is going to be front and center, is going to be a very huge, huge topic of conversation. And I guess it'll be interesting. I know we're not going to get any real clues as to, okay, this is who the Browns like, or this is what the Browns see among these guys. But it's still going to be something that is going to be talked about quite a bit, about Robert Griffin III and about Andrew Luck. And just the hordes, the media hordes that'll be crowded around those guys when we're there.
Oh, man, I'm flashing back to last year and Cam Newton.
I know.
You know, you're right.
10 deep.
Oh, my, it was crazy. Deep. Yeah, I was 50 feet away trying to listen. But, yeah, you know, it'll be the first time. I don't think Tom Hecker's going to tell us any secrets, but it's the first time he can kind of talk freely about these guys, because they're all, you know, they've declared themselves for the draft, and they're going to be on display and interviewed and stuff. So I look forward to that. And, what I like about the combine is just being able to see these guys up close. You get a sense of how big they are.
Right.
You know, because you don't get that necessarily on TV, but if you stand next to RG3, I'll be able to tell if he's 6'1 or 6'2, in addition to the actual, you know, they measure him there.
Yeah.
But you get a feel for, is he big enough? Does he look frail? And then you get to hear the interviews, and I know these guys are coached, but their personality still comes through.
Oh, yeah.
And you can tell if the guy's, you know, a little bit of a knucklehead, or if he's grounded. I definitely think I can tell that from talking to him for 5-10 minutes.
Sure.
And it's not just the huge guys, but, you know, the other names, you talk to a guy and you think. Yeah. And, you know, I remember Cam Newton, and I was not impressed by the way he handled the media last year. And he must have done better in his interviews with Carolina, and then, you know, obviously he had a good rookie year. But I think those leave a lasting impression on me, but I think they also on the team. When these coaches meet with these guys, that's the first time they're making an impression, whether or not I can trust this guy to be my guy.
Yeah, you're right. And to a lesser extent, I mean, we're doing the media interview versus, say, the team interview with the players, and those will go on, and I think teams can pick upwards of, I'm pretty sure there's a limit, but I think I've heard numbers of in the 40s of players that they realistically can get in the course of the time that the team representatives are there, 15 minutes apiece.
Right.
I don't know how much you get to know about a guy in 15 minutes, but it's 15 minutes more than you have.
Sure.
Previously, and for our purposes, like you said, at those risers and behind the mics, with a lot of media nationally in front of them, bombarding them with various questions about their backgrounds and such, it will be fascinating and does tell us a lot. And I guess the other thing we're going to look at is listen to, say, every word that you hear from the Browns folks with regard to their observations, and nobody will show they're pretty good at keeping those cards close to the chest. All team reps are, but you know everybody's ready to just jump on one utterance that can give you a clue.
No, I mean, that's what it is, and the fans would be surprised how many media are just at this, you know, it's the inside of the dome, and it's a million people thousands of people talking to these college guys, and there's 20 of them at a time, and they're spread across the room, and you're looking for stories, and then you're talking to front office types to see, get any inkling of who they like or what they don't like. Then you throw the Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Indianapolis factor. It's just going to be like the Super Bowl redux because you're going to get all the same stuff, and Andrew Luck will be in the spotlight. So I'm really looking forward to getting up there.
Yeah, I think it's going to, you know, take the off-season talk to another level. It's been obviously a fairly quiet off season since the last we heard from everybody, which was those postseason wrap up news conferences by Pat Shurmur, by Mike Holmgren, by Tom Heckert. So I think as we get closer to the combine, we'll start getting more of a feel for what the draft looks like and now that you have the underclassmen in there. And I think from that point forward, as you say, fans will appreciate this, is pretty much on a daily basis we'll be hammering away at who the prospects are.
Well, yeah, that's true. Because, you know, for just so long, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And there's no news. And you know, I'm sure Tom Heckert and his guys are sequestered somewhere watching film. And all of a sudden, they become public again.
Yeah.
And then you get, you know, that's about the time where you start talking to your own free agents so we could have, you know, DeQuell Jackson news or Peyton Hillis news, because that's about the time it starts. And then, you know, it's only a week or so after the combine, you get franchise tags and then full-on free agency.
Yeah.
And then we're a go. You know, next thing you know, it's the draft. So really, I mean, I know it's the offseason, but it starts to heat up pretty good here.
I think it's going to heat up quite a bit, and looking forward to it. Scott, thanks so much for stopping by.
Anytime, Vic.
He is Scott Patrick, covers the Browns for the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. It's brought to you by Madden NFL 12. In stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.
Wait for the auto show. The deals have arrived at Liberty, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. The savings are huge, and right now you can get an additional $1,000 auto show bonus cash or lease America's best-selling truck, F-150, for just $269. Four-wheel drive, chrome access, 18-inch all-terrain tires, all for only $269 a month. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermillion.
At Cleveland Clinic, we'll see you later, today. Access to the best care is easy, with same-day appointments available at convenient locations throughout Northeast Ohio. Call today, 216-444-CARE, or visit clevelandclinic.org.
Celebrate the new year with a new device from Verizon, like the 4G LTE Pantech Breakout. Now only $49.99 after $50 mail-in rebate debit card. Plus, buy a new 4G LTE smartphone and you can double your data for the same low price. Visit any Verizon store, verizonwireless.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Verizon. It requires new two-year activation and data pack. Early termination and other fees apply. Double your data applies to new activations or upgrades and data packs 2 gigabytes or higher. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com.
The following rules cover ESPN Cleveland contests, but may be amended by separate rules for specific contests. For each contest, you must meet eligibility requirements. No purchase necessary. Employees of Good Karma Broadcasting, ESPN Cleveland, its affiliates, partners, other radio stations in the metro area, and their immediate family members are ineligible. You must be a U.S. resident, 18 or older, living in Ohio. You can win a prize in an ESPN Cleveland contest only once every 60 days, or for a prize value over $600, only once every 6 months. Due to online streaming delays, online listeners may not be able to participate in on-air contests. One winner per household per contest. Prizes awarded pending verification of eligibility.
quality and are not transferable and cannot be exchanged or redeemed for cash. We reserve the right to substitute a prize of equivalent value if the prize or any part of the prize becomes unavailable. Decisions are final. Winner must present valid ID and information required for tax purposes. Winners must claim prizes in person within 30 days of winning. Winners must comply with all requirements and complete all releases or forfeit prize. Winners are responsible for all taxes. ESPN Cleveland isn't responsible for technical difficulties that may prevent you from completing a call or sending a text. For text contests, message and data rates may apply. These are your responsibility. For official rules, visit ESPN Cleveland Studios during regular business hours or online at ESPNCleveland.com.
Spend a day, a week, or an entire winter skiing and riding at Holiday Valley in Ellicottville. It's just fun. And now with their new mountain coaster, new quad chairlift, and more snowmaking, Holiday Valley is bigger and better than ever. Catch the thrill on 58 slopes and trails, four terrain parks, glades, steeps, and cruisers. Laugh it up with your friends and family, or just cuddle up with your sweetie by the fire. Poke around the one-of-a-kind shops and restaurants in Ellicottville and enjoy the small-town flavor. Whatever you choose, it's all at Holiday Valley, and it's all just fun. Holiday Valley in Ellicottville, New York. Find us on the web at holidayvalley.com.
Great skiing, great time, great friends at Holiday Valley. Winter fun never ends. Great skiing, great time, great friends.
I'm Joel Matlin, president of Alarm Force. With an Alarm Force video relay, you can see and speak with whoever's at your front door from anywhere in the world through your cell phone. Full video and live two-way voice together, the most advanced form of home security. Get a video relay and an Alarm Force home alarm for only $199 and only $35 per month. And you can get a video relay even if you have another company's home alarm or no alarm at all.
Call 1-800-267-2001. Alarm Force.
Ohio's best choice for home security.
At Cleveland Clinic, we'll see you later, today. Access to the best care is easy, with same-day appointments available at convenient locations throughout Northeast Ohio. Call today, 216-444-CARE, or visit clevelandclinic.org.
And we welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. This is an interactive show, you know that, so you can ask me questions via the Browns official Facebook and Twitter pages and also via our new voicemail feature. Very cool. If you want to try this out, 1-855-363-2459, locally 440-824-6134. Leave a question, leave a comment. The best ones will make air on this show. Via Facebook, we have Neville, and this is appropriate given our show tonight with Dick Geron, the defensive coordinator of the Browns, joining us at the top. Vic, what level of our D needs the most improving, and what position specifically needs to be addressed first? The level that I think on defense that could be enhanced the most, the one I would go for if it's there, is the D-line, is the end, is the pass rusher. Complement what is already there with Jabal Sheard. Put another bookend. The Giants laid out that blueprint about as well as you can. This league is about throwing it, and it's about getting to the thrower and making the thrower's life as miserable as possible. And if you don't have as good a thrower as the other team does, but you can make that other team's thrower make his life miserable during the game, you've got a shot. It gives you a chance in every game to be competitive. And then you win when you, too, have a really good thrower and that he makes more plays. So defensive end, linebacker, I also want to see some addressing there as far as depth is concerned and maybe get a little younger at the position. We have Mark via Twitter asking, I hear all these experts saying that the Browns will trade up. Mike Holmgren making references about that. Tom Heckert's history. I say, no way. Well, Tom Heckert's history is that of a trader, trading, not trader, T-R-A-D-E-R, as a guy who will look to make the deal. And he did it last year. I don't think he'd be opposed at all to the move up if the right deal was there. But it's got to be the right deal for the Browns. It's got to be a very subjective thing here. Teams do try to win these deals. Now, you know, is that always the case? No, and it's in the eye of the beholder. Didn't look like the Falcons won that deal when the Browns and the Falcons traded last year and they ended up with Julio Jones. Gene via Facebook, I think we have a trade partner. He mentions Washington. We can drop back a few, gain a pick, and then get Trent Richardson. All right, that's a nice scenario. I don't know if that plays itself out, Gene, but I put it out there because it's interesting. Mateo, via Facebook. All right, Colt McCoy is not a Hall of Famer, but neither is any other option right now. RG3 is an unproven rookie. Peyton Manning has a fused spine. Matt Flynn is a journeyman. Okay, so he's wiping out that list. So at least with a guy like Trent Richardson, he's making the case for Richardson. You know you get someone who can contribute right away. So basically, stick with the quarterback the Browns have and go for Richardson. And that's plausible. I'm not sure if the RG3 unproven thing is necessarily the only reason you look at, you know, if he's got the great potential, sure, they're all unproven as rookies, but are they talented enough and can you identify the right talent to be your guy? And RG3 is going to get that kind of scrutiny and could very well be a guy here or certainly somewhere. All right, we want to thank Dick Duran. We want to thank Scott Petrick and Drew Boatner and Danielle Lavelli and our outstanding producer, Dave DiNatale. We will talk to you again tomorrow night on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.